morning, everyone.
Morning.
The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 21. On my Bible, that's 988. So that's Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent out two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please do keep your Bibles open there, because we'll be looking at that together now. Let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father God, as we return to the Gospel of Matthew, Father, today and in these coming weeks, Father, there'll be stories which are familiar to many of us, but we ask, Lord, that you would speak clearly through them into our hearts and minds. May your spirit be at work. May your word bring much fruit in our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So yes, we're back in Matthew for the next few weeks, and then we're going to be having a bit of Old Testament prophecy in July. And as we return to Matthew chapter 21 today, it's an important moment in Jesus' life, in Matthew's account of Jesus' life, because actually this is Jesus going to Jerusalem. Now we know from the other Gospels that Jesus had been to Jerusalem before. But actually in Matthew, this is the first time we get told that he goes there. So here, to Jerusalem, to the very centre of religious life for a God-fearing Jew then, but also for today as well. And in the previous chapters in Matthew, Jesus has been helping his followers understand what sort of God-appointed king he is. He's a king who takes sin seriously, but at the same time takes forgiveness wonderfully, just as seriously. A king who welcomes into his kingdom all types of people, and says it's by grace, because it's only possible through a miracle of God. A king who is ready to die and rise again for his people. And now this king is coming to Jerusalem. And as he does so, he's ready. He's ready to say the king is here. A king that, unlike any other king you've ever seen, he's come. A king that we need to be ready to look at again with fresh eyes and fresh hearts. So along with the crowds, we can shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." So my first point this morning is that actually Jesus comes as the public king. You see, up to this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus he's already acknowledged that he's the Messiah, that he's God's divine king, but only to his followers. And actually, it's nearly like a semi-secret, but not anymore. Jesus and his followers have just walked from Jericho. It's over a 100-mile journey. And they're approaching Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Jesus is talking about a donkey. Now, there's no indication that Jesus is flagging at this point, that he's getting a bit tired, that he needs a donkey to get there. No, Jesus said, I'm not going to go any further before I get a donkey. And let's see why. Verse 2, chapter 21 and verse 2. Saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Actually, it's not one donkey, is it? It's two donkeys. A lady donkey and its child donkey. Sorry, I don't know the technical names for donkeys, so we'll stick with that. And instructions are given on what to say if they're challenged. And it's impossible to tell, I think, whether this is a predetermined password, whether Jesus somehow prearranged with the donkey's owners that this was the password, that he needed them, or whether the donkey owner was a disciple of Jesus and would just say, Jesus needs them, he can have them, or whether it was actually a miracle in that sense. We're not told, and I don't think it's important. What is important is what comes next. Verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is a quote from Zechariah written over 500 years earlier. But you see what Jesus is doing here. Before this day, Jesus' kingship was a semi-secret. But now he's about to announce the whole Jerusalem by riding into the city on a colt. He's saying to them, I'm your king. And I'm coming. And apart from sorting out the retrieval of this donkey, Jesus didn't say a word here, did he? Instead, it was a simple but very effective visual aid. Sorry, we've already talked about football once this morning. I don't talk about football a lot, but think about Harry Kane for a moment. For those of you who don't know who Harry Kane is, he's probably the best English footballer in the country at the moment. And he's spent years playing for Spurs. But in the last few months, rumours have been spreading that he wants to move clubs. He's actually hoping to win something, which he's not doing with Spurs at the moment. So those rumours have been going around for a while. But then just a couple of weeks ago, it became official. The whispers were no longer rumours. The whole public, if they were interested, knew that Harry Kane wanted to move to a different football club. Well, Jesus was always God's king. The rumours had been flying around, but now Jesus has gone public. And he didn't do it with a tweet or a media statement in sight. But it wasn't just Jesus who was going public, though, because who knew he was the king. Because look with me, please, at verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Cloaks are put on the foal for Jesus to sit on. But then more importantly, cloaks and branches are laid on the road in front of Jesus. And this is more than just an honour. This is more than just sort of showing respect. In 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 13, we're told this. They quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew their trumpets and shouted, Jehu is king. See, people taking off their cloaks and putting them in front of Jesus was another visual aid. Another way of saying, Jesus is king. And this time it's not just Jesus saying it, it is the crowds acknowledging Jesus' divine royalty. It's as if they're rolling out the red carpets. And those branches that we get spoken about, they're like an early warning system pointing us to Psalm 118, where green branches are spoken of. But actually, Psalm 118 is what some of the crowds are saying. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. taken from that psalm. The Son of David is a way of referring to God's promised king. Hosanna, an expression of praise, saying, brilliant, reaching the highest heavens. So by word and deed, the crowd are saying, Jesus is king. He's gone public. The crowd have gone public as well. And Jesus has been public ever since. Jesus is king of his people. He is king of the whole world. The king of the universe. It doesn't matter how many people, how many millions of people say, no, he's not. It doesn't change Jesus' kingly status one bit. And as we live for Jesus this week, it's such an encouragement to know that we're following and serving the king of the world. Now, I mean, when you've got your neighbour and they've perhaps been inconsiderate, and there's no debate going in our heads whether we should forgive them or not, because Jesus, our king, commands it. And when you're getting ready for church and the stress of getting the kids out the door or whatever it happens to be, should I go, should I not? Well, Jesus, our king, commands it. When our culture says to us, your faith in Jesus, that's all right, but keep it quiet, keep it personal. We say no. Our king has gone public. He must be heard. So we have a public king. But next we also have a gentle king as well. Please look with me again at verse 5. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, at one level, I think we're used to baby Jesus meek and mild in the stable, aren't we? But here is a Jesus public announcement. I'm your king. And what's the first characteristic he goes for? Gentleness. Now, we know Jesus is no walkover. He's strong and determined, amongst many other things. But as Jesus enters Jerusalem, I'm your king, I'm your gentle king. The very opposite of the kings of the time. I mean, they would have had war horses and chariots and legions of soldiers. Or today, what is it? They have armored limousines and security guards with handguns or sometimes submachine guns. Power and authority dripping from them. But Jesus, it was gentleness. And didn't he demonstrate that time and time again in his ministry up to this point? Whether it was the distraught father whose child was on the verge of death, or the rich young ruler who loved money more than God, or the unimportant, so-called unimportant children who came to Jesus, he was gentle. Whether encouraging or even rebuking somebody, he was so gentle. So when Jesus says he's a gentle king, his words were backed up with his actions. And it's interesting, sometimes this passage that we're reading this morning is sometimes called the triumphal entry. And I sort of get why. But I reckon Jesus would want it called instead the humble entry, the gentle entry. And this is so important because if we've known Jesus for longer than 5 minutes, we'll know just how gentle he is with us. How Jesus drew us to himself. How amazingly patient he is with our constant failure and sin. I'm going to read a poem now, which I know is familiar to many of us, but you'll see why I read it in a moment. One night I dreamed a dream, and as I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life, and for each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. And after the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, and especially at the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you once said, when I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troubled times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials and testings, when you only saw one set of footprints, it was then I carried you. The point is, Jesus is so gentle with us, we don't even realize when he's lifting us up. It is wonderful to have a gentle king. But gentleness is massively undervalued in our world today, and sometimes, sadly, even in the church as well. Yet Jesus, who is straight and clear and unmovable, it never took away from his gentleness. But there are times when God's people can become a gentleness-free zone. And when that happens, we've taken our eyes off our gentle king. But he's not just a gentle king, he's also a saving king. And that's my third point, the saving king. Because when the crowds were shouting in verse 9, Hosanna to the Son of David and Hosanna to the highest heaven. Hosanna is a word of general praise, but it's also got a more specific meaning. It means save us now. So as the crowd shouted Psalm 118, they were speaking better than they knew, a king who had come to save. And it wasn't salvation from the Roman occupiers, or salvation from illness, or salvation from that family member who's a thorn in everybody's side, or whatever your biggest headache is at the moment. Jesus came to save us from ourselves, from our sin and God's judgment on it. And instead makes us a child of the living God to look forward to spending to eternity with Jesus. A king who comes and gives to his people not what they want, but what they need. And we all know parents, don't we, who give children, give their children what they want and not necessarily what they need. Now, I've done it. I think all parents have done it at some point, haven't they? Just because for the quiet life. Some parents do it more than others. Well, our gentle king gave up the quiet life and the glories of heaven to come and give us what we need, salvation. A public king, a gentle king, a saving king, and last of all, a challenging king. And our final verses, please look with me at verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So here's Jesus. He's eventually coming to Jerusalem and the buzz is going around the streets. Who is this? Is a question on everybody's lips. And verse 11 is a challenging answer. Because first of all, it talks about a prophet, but not any old prophet, but it talks about the prophet. The prophet that had been predicted all the way back in Deuteronomy that would be a prophet like Moses, who would speak God's words, a prophet that you must listen to. Now back then, just like today, people can be very comfortable with the idea of God as long as we get to call the agenda, as long as we get to call the shots. But this king, he's not going to allow that. He'll speak, he'll challenge, it'll be uncomfortable at times. But that uncomfortableness doesn't stop there. Because this prophet king has come from Galilee, from Nazareth. Now, that was a nowhere place. It's, you know, unimportant. No one important came from there. As it says elsewhere in the Bible, nothing good comes from Galilee, was what some people thought. But that was about to change. The civic rulers and religious power brokers in Jerusalem were about to be rocked to the core by Jesus, by this weirdo from the back of beyond. The whole city was stirred. What is going to happen next? And we today need to be ready to be challenged by Jesus, to be stirred by him, to perhaps expect the unexpected from Jesus in our lives. So King Jesus, he came and announced himself publicly, gently. Salvation matters. And there was and is more to come. And therefore, as we worship him together this morning, Let's long for him to shape our lives ever more thoroughly here at Cornerstone and in our worlds. Be reassured we have a gentle, public and saving King leading the way. And we couldn't be following anybody better. Let's pray. Father, we so easily copy and think the world's way of doing things and being powerful is the best way. But once again, your wisdom turns things on its head. As Jesus, the gentle King, came and still rules today. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to value the gentleness in Jesus way more than we do. To value that as we try to show Jesus to our friends and family and our neighbours around us. May that distinctiveness help people to wake up, to see, and to think more further about Jesus. And Father, we thank you as we do follow our kingly Jesus day by day. He's a king who is worth following. He knows what's best for us. He knows the way to give glory to you, what is good for us day by day. Give us confidence as we follow in his steps day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.